On the show today, we have Cornerstone Advisors Ron Shevlin and Ryan Rackley talking about their latest research report on the quest for video teller ROI. So check it out. Welcome to the show and happy holidays to everyone out there. We have two fine gentlemen on our program today from Cornerstone Advisors, Mr. Ron Shevlin and Ryan Rackley. How are you guys?
Doing great, Mike.
Doing great, Mike. Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Hey, you guys just did a recent research report entitled The Quest for Video Teller ROI, and this is something that's gaining some steam in our industry on both sides of the aisle, on the banking side and the credit union side, so it's becoming more and more popular. But before we get into the details of it, can you guys provide us with a quick summary to kind of set the stage here? Ron, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Mike. Well, yep. Definitely. So what we did was in-depth interviews with 11 financial institutions. That was a mix of both banks and credit unions, mm-hmm. and collected detailed operational data from their ITM deployments. Because we wanted to understand, despite the title of the paper, what we were really going after was not quantifying the return on investment for their ITMs, because that's a very case-by-case situation.
Right.
But really wanted to understand what was the business rationale for their deployments, what was reality versus planned, and from an operational perspective, we really want to understand what impact are ITMs having on their staffing, and to the extent that they could quantify it, on their sales performance as well.
And Ryan, anything to add there to help set the stage here?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, when we started talking about doing this white paper, it for me, it was a bit simpler than that. I mean, collecting data was obviously needed in the industry, because as I was going through and working in the industry and being a practitioner here, my phone just started ringing of folks that had gone through the process of implementing video tellers, mm-hmm. and really gone through it with a bit of a I'd say lack of a strategy or short-sighted strategy, and just kind of went down the road of, you know, we've got a vendor, they came in and showed us this really fancy, shiny machine. We bought a couple of them, stuck them out there, and nobody's using them. So, Cornerstone, can you help us? Something ain't right here. And, of course, the answer is, well, yeah. And so Ron and I teamed up of figuring out, you know, of some best practices leaders in the industry to get a hold of and say, okay, what do you guys do that the other folks aren't quite there yet? Mm-hmm. You know, this is hard to figure out. It's all new tech. It's a new way of doing branching. And, you know, we felt we were obligated to shed some light on the topic.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a case of the shiny red ball syndrome. It's like, ooh, let's go get that. So without a plan.
Exactly.
Let's take a step back, guys, and I think you guys, both of you, kind of alluded to it in your recent responses. But why conduct this report? Because it's such a small setting right now, but obviously it's going to grow. I mean, what were some pain points that credit unions were experiencing to answer this?
I'll jump in first, Ryan, and then let you kind of go. Well, first of all, Mike, there's, as Ryan kind of alluded to, phones ringing off the hook with a lot of financial institutions who are deploying this, without a lot of history around what are the expectations, what should they be looking for from a benchmark and operational perspective, but also from a more, I think, even a higher level, what the business goals and rationale needed to be. So I also, to the extent, and I don't want to impugn any vendors here for sure, but certainly there's a bit of hype in the market as well. Lots of articles that we've seen in the press, mm-hmm. that talk mm-hmm. to the transformation of branches as a result of ITMs or video tellers. And so we really wanted to just get to what's the reality of the situation.
Yep. Indeed. Ryan?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, when you take a look at, there's a lot of hype in the industry as well from, you know, branch of the future, redesign, and so on and so forth. But, you know, when you break it all down, it's just a branch planning exercise that we've all been doing for decades. And it's a recognition, I believe, of how members are addressing branches. They're going to branches to help get advice, to solve problems that they might have, or open up that new account. You know, I mean, those are the things that bring a lot of value, bring it to the members. Like, that's why I need to go to a branch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be in the past that you'd go to a branch to deposit checks and to get cash. And while that's still there, the branches, oh, by the way, if you're there doing all that other stuff that you need to be at the branch for, then you can go ahead and get cash.
Right.
You know, so to me, the video piece of it is bringing together that high value cost structure of the sales organization, mm-hmm. of what, you know, our branch folks are doing. That's what they're good at.
Right.
And also bringing some additional efficiencies into, you know, letting the machines and the automation and driving efficiency in that low value member in the members up.
Right. Where I'm using that stuff for more of the transactional day-to-day type stuff other than the consultative stuff. Yeah. Which is the way the branches are going these days. So, all right.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, look at yourself, Mike. I mean, when you go to, let's just say you need to get $100 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is the branch the first thing that pops into your mind?
Not really. No,
probably not. Right. I mean, if you're like me, I'm at the grocery store, I buy a pack of gum, I get cash back.
Yep.
Or I find that ATM near the corner. That's my credit union reimburses me the charge for it. I'm on my way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that general mindset of thinking how to manage the change in mentality of the digital age circa 2017.
Yeah, and exactly. So without giving away the entire research report, but what are a couple of takeaways that readers can gain from this report? Ron, you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. A couple things, because we did quantify a lot of the operational performance. And also, in addition to the 11 FIs that we had the operational data for, thanks to the fact that we've been benchmarking bank performance for the past 15 years, we had a point of comparison of the 11 FIs with the ITMs versus banks and credit unions without ITMs to see how to compare teller productivity. So here's a couple of things that I would sort of put the stake in the ground on here.
Okay.
First of all, we did see a superiority in teller in transactions per teller FTE among the institutions with ITMs versus those without ITMs. Although the difference is not huge when we look at the 11 versus the total database we've got.
Mm-hmm.
But to Ryan's point about those institutions that are really kind of focused on having a clear strategy around ITMs and making the commitment to it, among the 11 FIs that we talked to and got the data for, what we really noticed was that they fell into two groups, the top three and the bottom eight. And the top three really stood out in terms of teller productivity and driving down cost per ITM transactions versus the other eight. Now, to a certain extent, that could be attributed to a certain extent to the life stage of where they were with ITMs. But for the most part, it really had to do a lot more with their strategy and commitment mm-hmm. to going tellerless in the branches. There were a couple of financial institutions we talked to that have deployed ITMs and are kind of looking at it as a mixed bag, you know, trying to drive some transactions to the ITMs and away from the human tellers.
Right.
But the FIs that really stood out in terms of productivity gains and driving down costs per transaction were those that had made the stronger commitments to the strategy and going tellerless.
Yeah, I'm wondering here, I'm thinking back to when ATMs were, I mean, ATMs have been around for a really long, long time, as we all know, but when they really started gaining popularity, like back in the 80s and that type of stuff, I'm just kind of wondering, speculating, did humans have the same mentality with ATMs when they first came out? I mean, because you go and you do your transactions through the ATM, as opposed to always going to the teller and going, "Hi, Margaret, you know, can I get, you know, $50 or whatever?" So I'm wondering if it's kind of the same mentality. Is that kind of, I mean, I know this is kind of off the top of my head, but do you see the same type of thing happening here?
Well, here's what I'll tell you, Mike, is that this, I think, is consistent with almost every new technology that comes out. There's a certain amount of resistance to it. There's certainly a demographic factor. I don't want to make fun of old people like me, but we tend to say, "Oh yeah, I'm never going to do that." And we tend to be the laggards. But the point is that we may be laggards in the adoption, but we eventually get there. And that's been true with almost every technology. Right. And the reality is that just simply putting them out there, the field of dreams, if you build it, they will come, never seems to work. And in fact, one of the common threads we heard among a lot of the institutions that have deployed this and have been successful with it is that they had to go through periods of hand-holding with their either their customers or their members to walk them through the transactions, mm-hmm. just simply putting them in the lobby and expecting that people were going to start using them. First of all, I don't even think we talked to anybody who thought that that would happen, so it's certainly not the case. Yeah. But one thing I will tell you, and we heard this consistently across the interviews we did, was that there was really no negative reaction among customers or members to the technology once they got used to it. Fears that they would lose customers or members who, you know, could not have that personal interaction anymore. Even the institutions that had gone tellerless experienced absolutely no attrition from a customer or member perspective.
Okay. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, I mean, just to daisy chain on that, I mean, you know, the key takeaway on this for me, from my standpoint, is that the major need in the industry was that the data doesn't exist. You know, we're making these large financial decisions. I mean, these machines are very expensive, boatloads of money. And our credit unions out there having to make financial decisions based on, you know, information they're receiving from their vendor, which is obviously self-serving. But now, and also having trouble developing their own business case framework around operational metrics that are needed to do so. So really, the quest for us was to deliver some metrics to the industry. You know, we have our credit union report that comes out. It's about to come out. But this is a brand new area where it's kind of in that adoption phase. It's on that, you know, swift uptick on the S-curve growth.
Yeah.
And the thing that was really needed out there was that the benchmarks just aren't there. And so Cornerstone felt, again, we were obligated. Let's fill that gap. We have a couple of darn good credit unions. We know they're right in the thick of this, and they'd be more than happy to help us out. So the white paper itself is rich in metrics that really all are used to build that business case. Which is why that's the name, the quest for ROI.
Yeah. Speaking of metrics, what metrics did you guys measure these? I know there's a few on the site where the paper is. Can you guys mention a couple of the metrics that you guys used here?
Yeah, sure. I'll give you some insight into that. Hold on one second. I'm actually going to pull them up so I have them in front of me. I know what I'm.
Yeah. You know what? While Ron's doing that, the other thing I always think about the video teller and ITM, PTM. I mean, there's a number of acronyms that are slanged into the new tech. What we think of this is it's really a sliver of the branch plane. And so anytime you're having a video teller conversation, it needs to be also about tellers themselves, consolidated, decentralized, et cetera, where it fits. But also, there's more machinery than just a video teller and branch. You know, there's still cash dispensers that are alive and well, that fill a specific need. There's traditional ATMs that all they do is spit out 20s all day long and accept checks. There's enhanced ATMs that'll image that check right there on the deposit and do a few other things. And then when you get into the upper end of that spectrum, you have these video tellers that, you know, can connect you face to face like we're doing now. Mm-hmm. It's a Skype call for ATMs, right? With a teller that can do things on your account like outside of the box, you know, hey, I need to update my address, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, if you follow the functional need all the way up the ladder, it's the conversation. There's more, I guess, layers to the onion, if you will, on the whole branch automation. This is one part.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Ron, you want to address a couple of metrics?
So we looked at metrics from a couple of different perspectives. One was from a capacity perspective and captured metrics around ITM branch penetration, ITMs per branch, and ITM FTEs per ITM. We also captured cost ratios, mm-hmm. Like ITM cost per transaction per ITM and per ITM FTE. And then also finally looked at it from a transaction perspective to capture what percent of total teller transactions in the institutions we looked at were being conducted by ITMs. And then also, thanks to, we had some data about the number of customers and members, could look at ITM transactions per customer and then per ITM and per ITM FTE. So you looked at productivity, cost, and penetration.
Any surprises in this research? Again, without giving away the whole report or anything like that, but were there a couple of nuggets that went, made you kind of raise your eyebrows a bit, guys?
Yeah, I'll want to jump into that first. I'm going to let Ryan kind of jump in because I know he's got some strong perspectives on this. But I will tell you that for me, and perhaps for us, if I can speak for broader Cornerstone personnel, I think one of the big surprises was that among the financial institutions that we interviewed, all, if not almost all of them, were reticent to attribute any sales gain to the deployment of ITMs. And we've been hearing for a while that there was going to be sales gain. Now, we debated this and sort of discussed this a bit internally before publishing that, because it sort of went counter to both our experience in working with a lot of financial institutions and doing ROI analyses, but also just our general belief of what was happening at the branch level. If we're moving transactions out of the teller lines, then we should be increasing sales. But what I think it really came down to was that most of the institutions that we spoke to were not just reticent to attribute sales to it, mostly because we were in a period over the past 4 years where the lending market came back, especially on the credit union side, strong membership growth, especially among the credit unions that were in the part of the study. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this came down to the fact that it was a measurement problem. They could not absolutely determine that it was due to ITMs that caused sales increases in their branches or for the institution altogether. So that was, I think, one surprising thing. And I think it kind of runs counter to a bit of what Ryan has experienced personally. So I kind of let him jump in and knock that one down.
Okay. Ryan?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think my personal takeaway from the study when it came out was the biggest, you know, when I'm sitting in my lazy boy reading the report going, oh, man, it was the fact that we confirmed that the use of ITM technology is valid. I mean, the business case and the ROI case, when you take a look at, there is operational benefits to this, mm-hmm. along with technological advantage. Now, they're not a whole lot. I mean, you take a look at the report, the margins aren't great right now because we're all figuring this out. We did talk to a few about the revenue sales lift, and again, I would agree with Ron. I think that depends on where you're coming from and where you want to go. You know, when we go into a credit union and look at doing a business case, the first thing I ask them is, okay, we need to break down your teller transactions. Let's break them down. Drive through, in lobby teller, mm-hmm. for this certain subset of everything that an ITM can do, and which, by the way, is about 90% of everything that a teller can do.
Right.
And usually I get, when I state that as a goal of, okay, we got to do this first to figure out where we're at today, to assess that and where we're going to go tomorrow, most of the time everybody looks at the floor, you know, and that's kind of the first response. So it's really an effort of, we know the data's out there, and it's and it can be put together, but it's almost never in a readily available state. And so it's, when you go in and do a business case, you have to have that discipline to just drive and drive and drive to uncover the truth. And having our benchmarks as a part of that means, okay, we got something to work towards now. We know what our goal is. We don't have to figure everything out. It's just figuring out our part of how to get into the comparison mm-hmm. state. Mm-hmm. And that to me is pretty cool. I mean, that's the next step to get there.
So is the jury still out with the ITMs? Is it too soon to even have an opinion on these? I mean, obviously they're going to grow in popularity and they're going to, you know, more and more credit unions and banks are going to be using them. But is the jury still out as far as the advantages as opposed to the cost and all that type of stuff? Or is it too soon?
I'll give you my take, Mike. I don't think that the jury is out or that it's too soon. I think the results of our study prove that if you are committed to making this work, you're going to make it work and you're probably going to see a return. Now, there are probably some caveats in terms of the number of branch transactions you have, the number of branches you have, the investments you make in this and so forth. But, you know, across the 11 institutions we looked at, even though there was a wide range of performance, it was still a matter of life stage and commitment that I think distinguished the leaders from the followers. Yeah. You know, I think the lesson, and this isn't just come out of the study, it came out of some personal experience as well, is that, again, go back to the field of dreams. simply putting them into the branches isn't going to make the difference. Give you a quick story. I was in Boston a couple months ago while I was doing the study, and a buddy of mine came into town, wanted to have lunch in the North End. As we're sitting there at lunch, he looks across the street at a bank branch, and he goes, "Well, that's my client. Can we go there after lunch?" And I said, "Of course." We went into the branch, and it's a tiny little branch in the North End, but very successful branch, because in the North End, you've got a demographic that draws a lot of people that use branches. And there is an ITM. And in the fact that I was doing the study, I asked the branch manager, I said, "Hey, well, you mind me asking, what kind of usage are you seeing of that ITM? And she said, "Oh, none. Nobody uses it at all."
What?
And it wasn't a surprise when you looked at where in the branch it was. It was actually the teller line in this particular branch basically could staff a single teller. And it was basically the ITM was facing the human teller. So in other words, somebody using the ITM in that branch could basically be bumping butts with somebody in line at the teller line. So you really think there's any surprise why nobody's using that ITM?
Right.
So the jury out? No, the jury isn't out, but you got to be smart about it. You got to have commitment to it. You've got to have a strategy for it. And I think the conclusions of our study was that productivity and staffing is a much stronger business case than expecting sales growth.
The old real estate mantra, location, location, location.
I mean, Mike, I run into that in the field, those kind of stories all the time. I mean, that's a very literal approach understanding that you need to take this seriously. And I mean, it's, you know, if you're taking an operational approach in the branch, or often we split it up, drive-through versus walk-up, from the teller perspective. Okay, if you're in the drive-through, why don't we set a BHAG, a big old hairy goal of eliminating manual cash handling in your drive-through, period. Because that's where the big bump in productivity can come from. You know, enable the video tellers or the remote tellers and the ATM functionality and the deposit-taking capabilities to do its thing and go all in. You know, don't set up the scenario where the new technology is considered to be the redheaded stepchild to the actual teller that's in the branch, you know, and when you have that vision established and that's what you're moving forward with on a branch by branch basis, again, based on demographics and fit, we see positive things happening. And that's what we saw in our research and our report.
Cool. Yeah. It sounds like what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. So very cool stuff. All right, gentlemen, last question here, wrap up here. Where can folks pick up this report? Because like you said, Ryan, it sounds like it is loaded with some really cool information. And the anecdote that you provided, Ron, was a classic, just exactly what people are looking for. So where can we pick it up?
At the Cornerstone website, www.crnrstone.com. I imagine if you just simply Google Quest for Video Teller ROI, probably would come up right up there. And if anybody really wants me to make it easy for them, just hit me on Twitter at rshevlin, R-S-H-E-V-L-I-N, and I get you in touch with that report.
Sounds excellent. Ryan, Ron, thank you so much for this very interesting conversation to kick off the new year. So we'll have some interesting things to talk about in 2017 as well. So I appreciate your time as well, and enjoy the rest of the holidays, all right?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, you too, Mike.
Okay,
thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Take
anytime.
Care.